Good evening, everyone. So last week we started to look at this topic, Lorik, or in English, awarenesses and knowers. So we first started by mentioning that everything that exists, all existence, or we could say all phenomena, are objects. And an object we had defined as that which is known by an awareness. And so the object is known by an awareness. The awareness that knows an object is an object possessor. And we saw there the definition of an object possessor is a functioning thing that possesses its object of any kind. So that's where we started last week.
That which knows the object is the object possessor. And we saw here, so in the second page of our text, that there are divisions in for object possessors. So let's look at briefly now two of them, that of persons and that of awarenesses. So persons, being an object possessor, is a functioning thing that possesses its objects. So it knows its objects. That is, a person fulfills that function.
The
third division, that of the third division of object possessors, that of expressive sounds. So this is a point of some controversy, in that it is an object possessor because it possesses its object. So therefore, there are those who assert it's an object possessor, hence it's in our text. But there are others who say, but it doesn't know its objects, it doesn't apprehend its objects, and therefore it's not suitable to be an object possessor.
We can see with both persons and awarenesses that they possess their objects and they know their objects. So we talk about, for example, this is mine, or this is that, this is a book, or this is delicious. So in that illustration, there is a person that knows, I know that what this is, I know that this is tasty. So a person knows its object, possesses its object, it knows its object. And likewise, we can also see in those same illustrations that there's an awareness that possesses that object, that knows its object.
So to see how a person fulfills the definition is quite easy. But for speech, to know its object, that's a point of discussion, and I'd say it doesn't.
Mm. 那我说你的鱼好过跟鱼今天的那些干啥当，罗新鲜的，但干啥些的，跟那几个来过的了呢？等到那我做干啥些的，就当哎，我做个，对，对，对吧？对，对，米当，炖煮啊，当，鸟啊，一大，吃啥些，那啥些，吃啥上街当，讲究些吧，吃啥些，那，干啥来过？我的呢，吃啥干啥些的，那都吃啥有的了。
So to summarize, both persons and awareness is apprehend their object. So that should be clear to us. Then looking at the first division of object possessors, that of persons. So here, to be clear, what is meant by a person. So a person is any being within the three or six realms. So a person is a being, a desire realm being, a form realm being, a formless realm being. Or a person, another way to divide persons would be into persons which are gods, persons which are demigods, persons which are humans, persons which are animals, persons which are spirits, and persons which are hell beings. All of these are persons.
I'm going to say, That dinner, the Nazuki, Nyawa, Tundra, Jasu, Sempada, Chasan, Yoruba, Jiba, Mapank, Gansa, the Lessimjan, Jiba, Pank, and Dilla, and the Sangi, Matoyoma, Dilla Sangi, Lessimjan, Lego Mar, Casana, Jiba, Chasan, Pansa, that the same gen said the same, said the Jiba, the Jibi, Jiba, Mapo, Sim, the Kuhore, Sim said it, Jiba, Mapo, Sim, the Sim, the Kula, Yoba, Gansa, Dilla, Sim, Jen, Sim, Dagor, the Sim, Jen, Jen, the Chugan, and the Shiadu.
So I hope it's clear what the meaning of persons is, because it's not perhaps how it usually is used in English, but that's the meaning of persons in Dharma. Then let's talk about the meaning of sentient being, because that's the term that we perhaps hear most commonly. So in colloquial Tibetan, the term sentient being is used for animals, and then in colloquial Tibetan, when the word sentient being is said, it doesn't mean humans, it doesn't mean gods, it only means animals. But in, so just to say, the translator wouldn't translate it as such, it'd translate animal, but that's an aside. Then in the Dharma context, the word for sentient beings refers to those who, it's literally those who possess mind. A sentient being is literally, in Tibetan, those who possess mind. So we see here in the object possessor, we have this possess, those who possess mind. But it refers specifically to those who have not abandoned stains. Those who have not abandoned the stains. So in other words, those whose minds that they, those minds that are possessed still have stains. Those are sentient beings. It excludes those who have minds that are not stained. And who are those who have minds that are not stained? Those are Buddhas, and only Buddhas. So non-Buddhas are sentient beings. In other words, beings whose minds, whose minds are stained. Those are sentient beings.
Mm. Mm. And
the term persons, this refers to all those to all beings, whether their minds they possess are stained or free of stains, unstained. In other words, Buddhas and non-Buddhas. So the term persons refers to Buddhas and non-Buddhas, sentient beings only to non-Buddhas.
那你那啥，当那刚啥些的，那刚啥肯定是来过的，设定啊都刚啥个参与中国了，这样的，那刚啥些的，风波啊不，刚入去了怕，那大些别个几乎设定嘛，六怕多被怕大呢，大些别个几乎进来，那哎，刚啥来过的，是吧？但你那啥，当刚啥刚啥的，哎，搞好大个，咱们数据风波了，大个，咱们初级风波了，大个，当咱们，啊，那都是风波，都是一波，那把是风波。
What is the essence of a person or the entity of a person? Well, that is explained through its definition. So that's the function of a definition. It explains the entity of that which is defined. So the definition of a person is a being imputed in dependence upon any of their or its five aggregates. So a person is imputed independence upon any of its five aggregates. So a person could be imputed independence just on the form aggregate, on the body. Could be imputed independence on just, say, the feeling aggregate. Feelings of happiness, feelings of suffering, etc. So a person is a being imputed independence upon any of their five aggregates.
So all of you are sitting here. All of you have come here, and later all of you will go somewhere. So if we put it in the first person, we could all say, I am sitting here. I have come here. And you're sitting and hopefully feeling, I am happy. So we all have these thoughts. But then if someone says to you, so where are you? And you say, I am here. Then that person says to you, so are you your body? And you'll say, no, of course not. And say, well, what about any of your individual body parts? Is that you? And you may think a little strange and say, no, of course I'm not any of my individual body parts. And then if the person asks, so then who are you? Where are you? Where are you if you're not your body? Then one has to think. And if one thinks thinks in detail, it will come down to one's mind. But you pinpoint a specific mind and say, this is me. That is difficult.
So
So when we say I'm sitting here, then what we're referring to with this term I is our body, because it's our body that is sitting here. So in that moment, we are imputing I onto our body, onto our form aggregate. And if one's in a particularly joyful mood, and you say, oh, I'm feeling great today, then one is imputing I onto the aggregate of feeling. And you know, good mood, I'm really having a great day today, then we're imputing our sense of self onto that aggregate, the feeling aggregate. The I, or the self, is always imputed onto it, at least one or a collection of the aggregates. One cannot conceive of the self or the person as separate, as apart from all the aggregates. And then if we look for the self or the person within the aggregates that the self is imputed on, one looks first in the physical aggregate, and one will find that there's no self to be found there. One will come to see that there's no self to be found there. So one will look at the mental aggregates. And again, one will not be able to pinpoint a aggregate or an individual mind and say, that is the self. And then one comes to see that the I or the self is merely imputed by mind onto the aggregates. So this then is when we talk about a person. We can't find the person, we seek the person, and the person can't be found within these aggregates, and therefore is merely imputed by mind. So if you think back to the teachings on dependent arising, when it was presented many times how to investigate the self, it was said that you look for the self within the aggregates, and you look in the physical aggregate, the various mental aggregates, coming to find that there's no self that exists in the way that it appears. And rather, the self is merely imputed by mind onto the aggregates. And in this way, one is, in this process of analysis and investigating is the self here, is the self there, investigating within the aggregates, one is developing the wisdom understanding emptiness. So this was a process we covered many times and you're familiarity with. And we see here why we start with the person. When we investigate looking for the inherently existent self, or we look for inherent existence, we start with the self. Because through this definition we understand clearly what the self is. Something that is merely imputed onto the aggregates. And so this is something, of course, we have great familiarity with, the sense of I, the sense of self. And this was in our dependence arising teachings, where we were encouraged to start with our analysis of reality, looking to see if phenomena exist in the way that they appear. We are encouraged to start with the self or with the person. And here from this definition, you can see why that this is where we are to start. And in the texts, various synonyms are used, and we have these mentioned here. So in texts in general, when they're talking about the self, they will sometimes use the word self, sometimes the word person, sometimes I, sometimes being. So these are synonymous, and in the variety of texts, these variety of terms are used. Now you can see there are four here listed as synonymous. We have these four synonyms: self, I, person, and being. So it's good to know, to learn that these four are synonymous, so that when one comes across them, one is clear what is being described. That being said, this one term, self, this it's useful now to say a little bit more on, because we can say there are two types of self. There's a self that is an existent, and a self that is a non-existent. So the self that doesn't exist is an object of negation, and you'll hear about this sometimes saying, "Oh, abandon the self." So this refers to one of these two types, the self that is the object of negation, or the object to be negated. So what is this self that doesn't exist? This is the self that appears to be independent of causes and conditions. This is the self that appears to be independent of anything at all. So this self is a non-existent. It is grasped at as existing in the way that it appears by a mind of self-grasping. So in the dependent arising teachings, we heard about this a lot. So here I just want to make this point that self, the term self, can mean different things in different connotations, in that there is a self that is non-existent and a self that is existent. An inherently existent self does not exist. A self that appears as if it were inherently existent or self-existent, that self does not exist. Then the existent self, so I spoke a lot about the non-existent self. The existent self is the self where one says, I am here, I am there. So this is the self that exists, and this then is synonymous with I, person, and being. So the term self is used in these two different ways, a non-existent and an existent.
You have a hand, the Gansa, the Paji, the Chile, the Moro, Shasa, the Law said, the Gansa, 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 rikpa sikle korwa da jene jikla ane loh sayde jene jikle korwa esi korwa da
so the persons they would self the self that exists is the one that fulfills the definition of being imputed independence on any of the five aggregates so that is the existent self so now we come to the second division of object possesses that of awareness So awareness, its essence, is a knower, it's defined as a knower. So this means that whatever apprehends its object and is not a person is an awareness. So that is the meaning of an awareness, which is a division of object possesses. An awareness possesses its object, it apprehends its object. And we have here again some synonyms, and we have the three of awareness, knower, and consciousness. So these three are synonymous. And so sometimes awareness is said, sometimes knower is said, sometimes consciousness is said. But these three terms are synonymous. Our text, you'll remember, is called Awarenesses and Knowers. So what we're seeing here, or in Tibetan, Lorig, Lo being awareness, Rig being knower. So this book then, this text is primarily about the divisions of awarenesses and knowers, or divisions of awarenesses. And this is primarily what our text is about, the various ways that consciousness can be divided. When one exercises, whether you go to gym or you do some sport, what one is explicitly or primarily engaging in is developing or improving one's body, one's physical state. So that is the purpose of exercise, and that's the explicit result of exercising. When we engage in meditation, then we are explicitly engaging in mental exercise. This isn't physical exercise, this is mental exercise. It's through meditation that we develop our awarenesses. So here with the study of Lodik, which is the study of consciousness or awareness, is we come to understand the finer details of consciousness. We come to understand which minds bring great benefits and therefore need to be developed, which minds harm us and therefore need to be abandoned. So So this is the purpose of studying logic, of studying awarenesses and knowers, is so that we can come to understand our own minds, our own consciousness in great detail. And through this detail, we gain clarity in which are the minds that are beneficial and need to be cultivated and developed in meditation, and which mind and way of thinking brings harm and needs to be abandoned through meditation. So this is the purpose of studying Lodik. When you start then to divide consciousness or awarenesses, we see here two divisions. We divide awareness into firstly valid cognizers and non-valid cognizers or non-valid consciousnesses. So to differentiate between valid cognizers and non-valid cognizers. A valid cognizer is a mind that or consciousness that first realizes an object. So valid cognizer is a cognizer which first realizes its object. All others are non-valid. Or another way to put it, non-valid cognizers, they include those which realize and don't realize their objects. But the very first moment of realizing an object is a valid cognizer. Non-valid cognizers do include those which realize its object, as well as those which don't realize its object. This division of consciousness into valid cognizers and non-valid cognizers is a division that's suitable for all sentient beings. It's not suitable for Buddhas. Buddhas do not have non-valid cognizers. All Buddhas' consciousnesses are valid cognizers. So this division of awarenesses just relates to sentient beings, those who possess mind that is stained. Those with stainless minds, the Buddhas, don't have such a division because they only have valid cognizers. So a valid cognizer, as was mentioned a moment ago, is a cognizer that realizes its object, but it refers to just the first moment of realizing that object. Every other mind would fall into category of every other awareness will fall into non-valid cognizers, for example, and non-valid cognizers include those which realize its object and don't realize its object. For example, the first moment that something is realized is a valid cognizer. From the second moment, becomes a non-valid cognizer. As well as all those minds which don't realize their objects, they are included in non-valid cognizers.
Tan sema se di kan chi la go re la yo do da din alma so so yo di sa do milu vi ji ba se di la an sema la go re se sa do milu vi ji ba sa do la na dang bo la go re dang bo milu wa la na yu di to ba la go re che sa dang bo to ba se che go ro di ne dang bo to ba di la ne de ya ji bo yin go ma to dang bo to ba zhen yi che ma yin go ma re che sa ji bo yin go re che sa yu di dang sardu se de dang bo se milu wa se de yu to ba che ji ba se de an lo yin ge che sa yu di dang bo to be ge an ji ba chi la che ma la go re ji lo wa da dun da che mi go de sardu milu ji ba se de.
And the definition of a valid cognizer, that is a new incontrovertible knower. The term new refers to the very first moment that the object is realized, and that's the meaning of incontrovertible. The object is realized. And the third term, knower, shows that it is an awareness, a consciousness. So that's the meaning of these three key words. It is a consciousness that realizes its object, but refers only to the very first moment. This definition is the definition asserted by three of the Buddhist tenets. It's asserted by the Sautrantika, or in English, the Sutra school. It's asserted by the Chittamatrans, or the mind-only school. And it's asserted by the Svatrantika Madhyamika school, or the autonomous middle way school. So these schools assert this definition. The Vaibhashika, or the Great Exposition School, the Chittamatrans, or the Mind Only School, and the Svatantika Madhyamika, Autonomous Middle Way School. The other schools don't quite agree with this definition. So let's first then look at the Vaibhashikas, which are the Great Exposition School. Sorry, the Svatantika, of course, is the Sutra School. Okay, the Vaibhashika, they say that the definition is just new and incontrovertible. This is because they say that form can realize its object. Not just any form, but the specific subtle form within the sense powers. In other words, the Vaibhashikas, or the Great Exposition School, uniquely assert that the sense powers, as well as consciousness, can realize its object and newly. So they assert a new and incontrovertible as their definition. So that's the Vaibhashika, or the Great Exposition School.
Sardu said the Lagomar, Sa Injimid Tamroto, Marela, or Milu Riba said the Semale, yes, but the Milu, you topic is Ribachina, Semala Grimado, Delia Tamboto, Tobadi, Semare, Tonic, the Karmahashiro, the Nimahashiro, and the Semamare Lagomare, Chazan Semare, Tone, Tone, Tamboto by Ne, Semare, Tone, and the Niminism draw on the door, Loga draw in that Semare, Chazan, Milu Riba, you topic is Ribachina, tell it Semare, yes. min mada yinji minji dangpar topa din gugu maare se war da chidana tenyu begi chema dele miluwe rikba yu topi ki rikba jile chema la gire dela yu dangpar topa yogre towa ne yunindu dhoba yonggure niga yonggure la gure
So again this definition a new incontrovertible no is asserted by three schools the Satrantika or the Sutra school the mind only or the Chittamatra school and the Svatrantika school the autonomous middle way school We looked at Vaibhashika's view, and now we come to the Prasangika's view, or the consequence middle way school. So the Prasangika's, their definition is an incontrovertible knower. So they don't assert the word new for valid cognition. They say for a consciousness to be a valid cognizer, it does not need to be new. It needs, though, to realize its object, and it needs to be a consciousness, a knower, an awareness. It needs to be that. It cannot be the sense power, that subtle form. But they don't say that it needs to be new. Whether it's the first moment the object is realized, the second moment, or some time later, whatever the passage of time is, it remains a valid cognizer. So the Prasangika, the consequence middle way school, they don't assert new in the definition, merely a incontrovertible knower.
That tema delaya that ngazo datiti doje bada sem zambada ta umar hangi be sheta shija re tuborwa jina da tema delaya pha yewara chebai na ni ungure la re mosum ye tema sha ta jesu pa be tema sha ni ungure la re
Then at the bottom of page 2, we see that the valid cognition, valid cognizers, can be further subdivided into two. Direct valid cognizers and inferential valid cognizers. I'm going to get back the Drupta Karisung Pimpe and Eriko Masa. Drupta Thama.
That didn't have to do it. Some Dhamma and Serama, Kastodhya, but Umarang Yuva Shetan, it was Chayur, what did it? Yeah. That didn't have to do it. That didn't have to do it.
Okay, so hopefully then the different philosophical schools' understanding of what is a valid cognizer is clear. This division then of valid cognizers into two is something that all tenets assert.
Unsum said, Topa said Nichigo, rather, Topa said, Unsum said, Nichigore, Tina, that it didn't semi goki shigo, rather, Tina, the Unsumi Tema, the Jesupe Tema, Shigore, then Dinane Lodelia, Topa, Unsum said, Topa said, Nichigo, in a dish emoji, the Unsum Tema, the Jesupe Tema, Nichi. Dinade, the Unsumi Tema, the Jesupe Tema, Nidi, Garia, the Garre Labna.
So what we've seen thus far is that awarenesses or consciousness can be divided into two, valid and non-valid cognizers. And then valid cognizers can also be divided into two, direct valid cognizers and inferential valid cognizers. Then if we then ask ourselves, so within valid cognizers, which are better, those which are direct and those which are inferential, which are better or which are superior, then that would be direct valid cognizers. Inferential valid cognizers, they have a flaw.
Jeba said, ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください。ちょっと待ってください
Why is it that a direct valid cognizer is superior to an inferential valid cognizer? And what is this flaw that an inferential valid cognizer has? Well, this meaning of this of direct, so we see between the two, the difference comes down to the words direct and inferential. So that when an object is got at directly, then the object is very clear, or appears very clearly to the consciousness. It's the consciousness and the gets at the object directly. So there's nothing in between. Or it's not going via anything else. It's getting at the object. The consciousness is getting at the object directly. So therefore, the object appears clearly to the consciousness. And another way to express it, the consciousness, a direct consciousness, directly gets at the object, and therefore the object appears unmistakably to the consciousness. So a direct valid cognizer is unmistaken. Then inferential. Inferential cognizer or inferential valid cognizer, this does not get at, this consciousness does not get at its object directly. Hence it's inferential, not direct. How does it get at its object? By means of a generic image, or a mental image, or what from tonight is going to be called a meaning generality, but we may get onto that later. Anyway, last week we called it generic image, so for now we'll say generic image. So an inferential valid cognizer doesn't get at its object directly, but via a generic image. And therefore, the object doesn't appear clearly to the consciousness, and this consciousness is then mistaken. So a direct valid cognizer, unmistaken, because it gets at its object directly. Inferential valid cognizer is mistaken. And why? Because it's mistaken with regard to its object. It gets at its object via a generic image, and that generic image and the object appear as mixed or appear, are combined to that consciousness. And therefore, an inferential valid cognizer is mistaken.
Jesus
Tingamo Yore, Sempig, Tingamo, yes, and Big Hago, Tingamo, Yimbi, Yumza, Garsam Tauris, and Dizinia, Sudi Cabria, Chine Mambulu songs, Chesan Dinzak, D. Jumsen the Chine, Tingamo, yes, and Big Topachiorda, Tingamo in Bahago, Topati, Dijeva Samare, the Carson, could Jumsen Garatin, Hangamo in Bagar Hagoras, the Sudi Cabla, Chine Mambulu songs, D. Jumsen Chine. This is the same thing.
So let's make the, so now we've understood the theory of direct valid the difference between a direct valid cognizer and an inferential valid cognizer, or the difference between them rather. So let's clarify this through an illustration. So let's take a delicious cake, or maybe a piece of cake. When one picks it up and tastes it, one experiences that taste. So it's, let's say it's a sweet taste. So this sweet taste clearly appears to one's consciousness. And how so? Through a sense consciousness, in particular, the taste sense consciousness. This is a direct perceiver. This is a direct valid cognizer. So the taste directly appears to the consciousness. And so this is a direct valid cognizer or a direct perceiver, and in particular, it's a sense consciousness. And the object, which is the sweet taste, this clearly appears because it is directly realized. So that's an illustration of a direct valid cognizer. Then, taking that same cake, but before we've eaten it, perhaps we're baking it ourselves, or we're seeing someone make it, and we see they're adding a lot of sugar, and they're stirring it, and they're mixing it together, and they know that cake has a lot of sugar in it. So then, when that cake is before them, before they've tasted it, they know a sweet taste is going to come. And why? Independence on a reason that which is that cake had lots of sugar. It has lots of sugar in it. Therefore, the taste will be sweet. So this mind that knows that this untasted cake is going to be sweet is not a direct perceiver because it hasn't directly perceived the taste. But it's a conceptual consciousness or a thought consciousness. Someone's thinking. And this conceptual consciousness is an inferential valid cognizer in terms of the taste of the cake. So the object remains the sweet taste of the cake. It's realized as being sweet, not directly, because it hasn't been tasted, but in dependence on a reason. And that reason was, lots of sugar has been added to that cake. So this then is an inferential valid cognizer. And an inferential valid cognizer comes about in dependence on a reason. It's a conceptual consciousness or a thought consciousness. So that's the difference between a direct consciousness, a direct valid cognizer, or in this case a direct perceiver, and a conceptual consciousness, and in this case an inferential valid cognizer.
Because when you talk about the 누이 김전에 전에 대가선 매여바다 하고 두고래스 제가 누아 예비 김전 전에 매여바디 하 매두 선배 삼로디 똑바디 니 똑바래 니 제바세 말해 그래서 누아 예비 김전 전에 강배 나라 매여바디 하고 와래 니 똑바세 말 제바세 마시고 그래 제가 니니 제바세 마디 강배 나라 매여바디 하고 올 때 이내 매대 세우 휴지 통고 하고 그거 말 통고 말 와다 세우를 시 통고 말 이내 매여바 하고 그래 가서 그 누아 유비 김치도 시 나고 그 그래서 나한테 담들로 로네 돈에 오늘은 미게 따와다 라고 레바로 돈에 사와 휴지에 매이바도 오늘에 세우 휴 하고 두고 그래다 니니디 캐버 휴차도 그래서 모습이 참아셔야다 제발 참아 니기 캐버 되는 친구를 따가자
To give another illustration to make the difference between a direct valid cognizer and an inferential valid cognizer clear. If someone's sitting at home in front of a lovely warm fire, they're looking at that fire, they're seeing that fire. So their consciousness knows directly or realizes directly fire because independent through the sense a direct valid cognizer, fire is seen. And the cognizer, the consciousness, directly realizes fire, not via anything, directly realizes the fire. But perhaps their partner approaching the home doesn't know there's a fire inside, doesn't know that the fire's on, they have that hope, but doesn't know that the fire has been lit. But they may see smoke coming out of the chimney. Independent on that reason of seeing the smoke, they will know that there's a fire inside the house. Hopefully only in the fireplace, but they'll know that there is fire. Without having seen the fire, they will know independent on the reason or the sign of seeing smoke. So here, fire is realized, but not directly via a reason.
제가
To repeat, there's a direct valid cognizer is what realizes fire. So we'd usually say, how did I realize the fire? Through seeing it. So this is what we'd say. We know there's fire because I saw it. But actually, through seeing fire, if we're going to be really specific, one doesn't realize fire. It's not through our eye sense consciousness that fire is realized. It's through our tactile or our touch sense consciousness that fire is realized. So through feeling the heat of fire, and hopefully not any burning, but just through feeling the heat of fire, through our tactile sense consciousness, fire is directly realized. What our eye sense consciousness sees is not fire, but it's shape, color and shape. It sees the color of fire, it sees the shape of fire, but not fire. So in brief, what realizes directly fire is actually the tactile or the physical or the body sense consciousness, not the visual eye sense consciousness, because the visual sense consciousness perceives color and shape.
Nadi Monsumi Semada, Chispa Semas, Denigita Chabar, Chunzeshi, Chispa Sema Jele Ligua, Nadi, Nadine, Dana Monsumi Sema said, and Daganis Laguri, Lamdatin Dondaro, Shikanis, Toba Dan, Jashi, Matu, Rikpa, Sigurta, Toba Manke, and then Matua, and Rikpa, Denigil Monsum Lagiesta. Then was some chemistry, you might see that was some sad kishi or that was some sad, that was my imbass. Topa, topa, dan, dressing, matu, riba, said the long was some pass or just not topa, my again, matu, a chair, and she going in chilla, long was some pala, or dela, you topa, the matu, and you go in.
So now hopefully the difference between the two divisions of valid cognizers, that of direct and inferential, are clear. We'll come to inferential later on page 8, and valid, direct valids also a little bit later. But just then to repeat the definition of valid cognizer, so just going up a little bit. So the definition of a valid cognizer is a new, incontrovertible knower. So in this school that the text is written according to, this is the definition, and it has these three key terms: new, incontrovertible, knower. And this includes both conceptual and non-conceptual consciousnesses.
Okay.
So now we start
something.
So that concludes our summary of last weekend. And now for something new. So we start at the top of the third page with direct perception. So first we have the what is direct perception, what is the essence of direct perception. So that's, it's defined as a knower that is non-conceptual and unmistaken. So it has these three key attributes of being a knower, which we saw was either synonymous with consciousness and awareness. It is non-conceptual and it's unmistaken. And it has then four divisions: sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, self-knowing direct perceivers, yogic direct perceivers. So of those four, there are three which we all have. The sense direct perceivers, we have. Mental direct perceivers, we have these two. Self-knowing direct perceivers as well. The one that is we don't have is the yogic direct perceiver, because those are only in the continuum of Arya beings. So we have here a slight difference between the different philosophical schools. So the third one that we're seeing here, the self-knowing direct perceiver, that is not accepted by two schools. that is not accepted by the Prasangika or the Vabhashika, the consequence middle way school and the great exposition school. These two do not accept the third one, the self-knowing direct perceiver. So according to them, according to Vaibhashika and Prasangika, direct perceivers, there are only three, sense, mental, and yogic, whereas the other schools assert four.
The two schools, the Sautrantika, the Sutra school, and the Chittamachans, the mind-only school, they assert these four. Sense direct perceiver, mental direct perceiver, self-knowing direct perceiver, and yogic direct perceiver. So you'll notice that one of the schools has been mentioned, the Svatantikas, or the autonomous middle way school. So within the autonomous middle way school, there are two divisions. So the middle way school is divided into two, the autonomous and the consequent school, or the Svatantika and the Prasangika. The Svatantika are further subdivided into two. So they are the Yogacharya Svatantika, or the mind-only autonomists, and the other one is the sutra autonomists, or the Sautrantika Svatantika. So they amongst these two subdivisions of the autonomous, of the Svatantikas, one asserts self-knowing direct perceivers, one does not. So therefore, when we say who asserts self-knowers, then there is some difference, and it's the difference then we've heard now previously. But when it comes to the autonomous, the Svatantika is a little more complicated, because the sutra, the Sautrantika Svatantika, or the sutra autonomists, they, like the sutra school, assert self-knowers. Then the Yogacharya Svatantikas, or the mind-only autonomists, like the mind-only school, do not assert the do not assert self-knowers. Sorry. I just made one small mistake then there. The Yogacharya Svatantikas do not accept self-knowers, but the mind-only school, the Chittamachans, do. Okay, then it's fine. So let's then look at the first
subdivision of direct perception, and that is the sense-direct perceivers. So there is a sense-direct perceiver correlating to each of the five senses. So there's the eye or visual sense-direct perceiver, the taste sense-direct perceiver, the ear sense-direct perceiver, the nose or smell sense-direct perceiver, and the tactile or touch sense-direct perceiver. So that makes five sense-direct perceivers.
Tone Matuache, Matuvi Rigbat Rada, called Matuache, Munia Corantoan, as in Dola Yerba, Matuvi Migi Sheba Dilla, and the Migi Wombu Mosum Sigmato, that Migi Sheba Dillian, Trishi Manguero, or Tritigan, and Munera, Penny Mevachilla Yerba, now together, the name Manguero, the name that he disso Migi Wombu Mosum Chivomade, then disuma Jelly Jelly Murua, then that Migi Wombu Mosum Lavendu.
So when we see something, our visual, our eye sense direct perceiver perceives form, and it perceives the object of form clearly, because it's a direct perception, so it directly perceives the object, clearly sees the object, and is unmistaken with regard to that object. So that's the case with direct perceivers. We have in the definition that they are unmistaken, and that's because they are direct, and they clearly perceive the object, or the object to the consciousness appears clearly. So they're unmistaken. We have, though, many consciousnesses regarding that same object which are mistaken. Those consciousnesses, though, are not direct perceivers. They are not direct perceivers, but these we'll come to later. So just to know for now, the sense-direct perceiver, for example, an eye-sense-direct perceiver, is unmistaken with regard to its object of form, because that object clearly appears to it, and it correctly apprehends its object.
So
to understand what a sense-direct perceiver is, one needs to know the definition. So the definition is that which is produced in dependence on a physical sense power that is its own uncommon empowering condition and is a knower that is non-conceptual and unmistaken. So the second point of the definition of a sense-direct perceiver is the definition of a direct perceiver, what we have at the top of the page. So what's specific to this perceiver is the first point, that which is produced in dependence on a physical sense power that is its own uncommon empowering condition.
Korangi gyule dagin ro chigara suchile tingo re chile suchile tingo re dagin korang tumo ma yin be dagin suchi yo res an deni ge suchi yo gore tene toba de toba ma yin ba che an de ya ma chu wa che ni ji ba chi la ne wang pe wang sum ni wang pe wang sum si ge re che ro da
kon so da ken de sukle
suchi yo res
sukle deni kon tru me re
ma chu
wa re deni
toba ma re ji ba re sa on de
So all of the, so a moment ago we mentioned five different types of sense-direct perceivers, one relating to each of the senses. So all of them perceive form. So all of these five sense direct perceivers perceive as an object form. And they all arise in dependence on a physical sense power, on a physical sense power, and they are non-conceptual, and they are unmistaken, and they are knowers or consciousness. So this they all have in common, that they arise in dependence on a physical sense power, and they are unmistaken, they are non-conceptual, and they are knowers.
And in the answer, you got a Hakwena, Mansugula, that Benangan to Sugro with a medal or a Chala Karate won't be Tonsi, won't be Tonya da Tony, Hakwen did Tony, Dinne Tony, Topi, Tema, the Wash, Tema, the Mosmi Tema. Dad of you, Tia Lamsa, or Daddy Ninja, Daddy Hakwen, you won't be Mosmi Tema, Tell the Sumosmi Tema, I say.
The things that we see, for example, if we see beautiful flowers, then what kind of consciousness is perceiving this flower? Well, that is a direct perceiver. Direct perception in particular, it's a sense direct perceiver, more in particular, and a visual, an eye sense direct perceiver. Or it can be expressed as a direct valid cognizer. So if we, again, I didn't say this, but if we look at sense direct perceivers in the first division, so that would be direct valid cognizers. So if we see something, it's that object that we directly see, we see through a sense-direct perceiver or through a direct valid cognizer. Then, let's say we hear something. So if we hear something, then this is something that we directly perceiving, that object we are directly perceiving, that is a sense-direct perceiver, in particular of the audio or the ear sense-direct perceiver. And it's hearing directly, the consciousness is the direct, valid cognizer. So let's say we hear a dog bark. So we hear a dog bark, that sound of the woof woof, this we hear with a direct perceiver, sense direct perceiver, our ear sense direct perceiver, and that is a direct, valid cognizer. Then we say, ah, woof woof, there's a dog. But you haven't seen a dog. But you've heard the dog, and independence on that reason that of the bark, we say, we impute, that we realize rather, dog. But dog we haven't seen. We haven't directly seen a dog, directly perceived a dog. We know there's a dog there, independence on a reason. So that is not a direct perception, but an inferential valid cognizer. So what we heard about on the bottom of the previous page. So now with this information, then when you leave here in a little bit, you go to your rooms and you're in your room, just be aware what's appearing in your mind. And if it's something that's appearing through your senses, so you're aware of something that you're touching or seeing or hearing, remind yourself this is a direct perceiver, a sense-direct perceiver. It is also a direct valid cognizer. And then think the things that I know, independence on a reason. So that's not coming to my mind directly. It's coming to my, it's arising in my continuum, independence on a reason, which means if I'm realizing it, but independence on a reason or via a reason, and therefore it's an inferential valid cognizer, not a direct valid cognizer. So with this information, you go to your rooms tonight, or you go home tonight, and investigate your mind a little bit. Investigate what's appearing to you. In this way, what we've been looking at will settle a little bit more and be a little clearer tomorrow. Because the purpose of this topic is to come to understand our minds better, to understand the workings of our minds better.
で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で Miluar, Yudogor, the Samabar, Delayaming, Janshila, or Janshi, the Topar.
Did he change the Yankasuna?
The singer, the Dishi, the Dishi started Milu, but Tambosara, Miluar, the Samayan Marilla, so on, that he did it. Near Yimoko, the Chatan Tony, you know, the Carbonar, Utti to Jambi, Janshi, Hago, and Topas Tia Churova, on the Udi, Hagugor, the Inner, or Samabar, or Topar, as well, Delaming Janshila.
And furthermore, recall if you think if everything that you have directly perceived today or previous to today, such as beautiful flowers or everything around oneself, so directly perceived through sight or touch or sound or taste or smell, then those are direct perceptions. Direct sense, sense direct perceivers, and sense direct valid cognizers. But when you recall this, then that is no longer a direct perception. So later, when you're in your rooms and you're recalling what's been said in class tonight, or you're recalling something you've seen or something that you've tasted, that is not a direct perceiver because you're not directly getting at the object. So that is a memory consciousness. And a memory consciousness is not a direct perceiver, it's a conceptual consciousness. A conceptual consciousness. So, when you directly see an object, direct perceiver. You recall it later, conceptual consciousness. A memory, in particular, amongst many conceptual consciousnesses, this is the memory consciousness. And furthermore, when you're investigating in your room, this is quite easy to understand, but it's to
again make it clearer the difference between a direct perception and a conceptual consciousness. And you can relate it to the definitions that we've had thus far. So a memory consciousness is a knower. So if we look at the definition of a valid cognizer on page 2, a new incontrovertible knower. A memory consciousness is a knower, but it's not incontrovertible. So it doesn't fulfill the definition. Drenche sena, rikpare, yini luare, miluamare. Correct myself. So the memory consciousness is a conceptual consciousness. So it's not a direct perceiver. It's also not a valid cognizer because it's not new. It's a knower and it's incontrovertible, but it's not new. Sadhu mare gana. Sadhu mare.
Sadhu mare.
Okay. Thank you. So the reason it's a knower is because it's a consciousness, it's a synonym. The object is realized, it's incontrovertible. It's not new because a conceptual consciousness is, this memory consciousness is not new, it's a memory. What did directly realize the object was perhaps the sight. That would have been new. This is not new, hence it's not a valid cognizer. Okay. Then we're a little late, so we'll finish here. Thank you very much.